You're listening to an IOE podcast,
powered by UCL Minds.
Welcome to the ECF staff room. I'm Elaine Long.
And I am Mark Quinn.
We are programme leaders for the UCL Early Career Teacher Development Programme. Why are we in the staff room? We are here because this is where the best professional learning conversations always take place. This is where problems can be aired bluntly and where solutions can be explored.
Over the course of this series, we will hear the voices of different colleagues as they come into the ECF staff room. We will hear from early career teachers themselves and from the mentors and induction tutors who support them. We will talk about all things ECF, the challenges and the joys. So why don't you enjoy a coffee with us, perhaps even grab a biscuit and sit down to half an hour of ECF staff room chat. Welcome into the staff room, Jill. Do you like what we've done with the place?
Looking lovely. Yes, very comfortable.
I'm glad you agree. Priorities first. You've had a busy day, I'm sure. So we need to fix your hot drink. How do you take your, what would you like? What's your drink of choice?
Oh, I think I would go an Americano with some cold milk, please.
That's a bit posh. We haven't had one of those. Okay. Americano with some cold milk coming up.
Thank you.
Afternoon, Jill. I hope, Mark, we've got a coffee machine ready to deliver that Americano with cold milk. We might have to up our hot drink services. Jill, what would you like to be served with your drink?
Oh, well, gluten-free, I'm afraid. So any gluten-free nut bars going around, that would be lovely.
It's all right, we cater to all dietary requirements. Please, can you introduce yourself for the listeners and explain what your involvement in the ECF programme has been?
Yes, I'd love to. My name's Jill Whitehouse. I'm the Deputy Head Teacher of South Gosforth First School, which is in the northeast in Newcastle. I've been a mentor for newly qualified teachers for the last 13 years of my career. So plenty of newly qualified teachers have worked with me. I've been really lucky to be part of the early rollout of the ECF as a facilitator and a mentor, which has been fantastic to work with NETSBE and UCL to discuss and evaluate the programme, share good practice. And I've also been extremely lucky to have a fantastic ECT, Amy, to work with. So it's been a really rewarding experience.
Jill, with that enormous experience, you're going to have a lot to share with us, I think, this afternoon. And of course, also because of the multiple roles that you perform on the ECF. So speaking as modestly as you can, what would you say are the, you know, ideal qualities of an ECF mentor? And actually, okay, you can go on to tell us about what you think the ideal qualities of a facilitator might be.
Okay, so I'll talk about mentor first. I mean, I would say organised, prepared and genuinely interested. I think that's the main quality that I would stress, because it's such a CPD opportunity for myself and, you know, obviously for the ECTs. Obviously, the ECF has been new to me for the last 2 years, but it's been a fantastic contrast to the way that I've worked, you know, in the 11 years leading up to that. With the ECF, there's a lot of information to get through. There's a lot of material to read and discuss. And I think the key is getting that balance right between the course requirements, you know, and making sure that you really look into those case studies and link them to the experiences that your ECT is having, but also balance it with the personal needs of that particular early career teacher and also the school as well, because things crop up on a day-to-day basis in school which you need to be flexible and add in to that ECF, you know, those meetings that you're having with your ECT. The 2 years of the ECF are quite different. So I think you need to be prepared for that. Obviously, the mentor approach is different in the second year with the inquiry approach. And that's when the genuine interest really kicks in, because you've got to be flexible and ready to go at it in a different way. You know, that inquiry approach pushed me. You know, it made me use research more in my own practice. And it was a fantastic opportunity for both myself and Amy, who I was working with. But I do think it's that being prepared and organised and making sure that you've got a plan. You're not just doing it on a week by week basis, that you know exactly what's coming next.
Just before you move on, Jill, I wonder if you'd say a little bit more about that, about this balance, because a lot of mentors tell us that they find it really difficult to strike that balance, that they say things like, you know, we're at this point of the ECF program, but my ECT needs something different. I'd really much rather have a conversation with them about behavior, but we're meant to be talking about assessment, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or they say things like, actually, what my ECT needs at this particular week is a kind of verbal hug. You know, they need something else. They need a bit of support maybe at this point. So you've obviously found a way of balancing these aspects, and as you say, making sure that it meets the needs of the school as well as the ECT. Can you say a little bit more about that, about how you were able to make the materials work for you and for Amy?
Absolutely. So the way we structured our sessions was we kind of realised very early on that time had to be protected and it had to be precious. So it was a senior leadership decision that time could not be touched. And I think that's absolutely essential, because I'll talk about this later on, but schools are such busy places and you get pulled in lots of different directions. So making sure that this time is precious is really, really important. So what Amy and I used to do was we would have our blocked session, and we would make sure that the first 15, 20 minutes was based around a discussion of what had been happening in school, any needs that had arisen, any worries that she might have. So we always started with that. And if it was something that was, you know, that quick fix, that we could deal with then and there, then we would. But if it wasn't, if it was something bigger, something wider, in how it needed to be addressed, we would make a note of it and say, right, we will come back to that after our ECF session. So starting with that well-being check-in made sure that Amy was in the right headspace. She knew that whatever needed to be dealt with was going to be dealt with, but it was put to the side and we did the ECF session then. So we looked at all the course materials, we did any activities. And then at the end of the meeting, we would come up with a plan of how the other needs were going to be addressed. So it was almost like it was taken out of the ECF session. The ECF session was protected, but Amy knew that all of those things were going to be dealt with, because that was, yeah, that was my role as her deputy head teacher, you know, yeah, as well as her ECF mentor, to deal with that. So we tried to make it part of that beginning of the session, but separate, so that the ECF session didn't.
You see, that's what 13 years of mentoring experience does for you, Jill. That's amazing. And actually, that's such a, I'm so glad I asked you that question, because I think obviously, you know, we've got some really experienced mentors, we've got some less experienced mentors, we've got mentors who would love to do what you said, but you know, their time isn't as well protected as you say yours has been. But just hearing that, you know, it's actually about discipline, isn't it? About being disciplined and structured for first 15 minutes like this, making sure you finish off in this way. that is possible, I think, in most cases, in most schools, most of the time, I think. And it's so necessary, I think, for any ECT, even an ECT who's obviously doing really well, which is, you know, what's been your lucky case. Jill, I did interrupt you. You were going to say something about the ideal qualities of a facilitator, because, of course, you have many strings to your bow.
Yes, so I have to say that when I was thinking about this, I did go with organised, prepared and genuinely interested again, because I have to say, can't really stress that enough, because obviously as a facilitator, you have to know the content. You have to know the content and the research inside and out. And, you know, I think the joy in that for me, and, you know, the kind of the rush behind it, was that I was actually genuinely interested. And I, you know, after being a mentor for 13 years, I thought, right, come on then, you know, tell me more, you know, tell me what I can do better, what I can do differently, give me something to try out. So yes, you know, those qualities kick in as a facilitator again. And then it's about engagement with the group. And really kind of getting them on side. I was really lucky because I ended up with two early career teacher groups, and they were so different, but equally rewarding. And, you know, it would always make me smile how different the same session could be with a different group. You know, and sometimes, you know, one thing would work really well with one group. I'd try it with another group and thought, oh, hang on a minute, not quite getting the same reaction, and I'd have to change. So, you know, that's always brilliant. I love it when, you know, have to think on my feet. But yeah, I think with the facilitator role, it's about bringing the content to life, because that's the way that you get the ECTs on board. And that's, you know, I needed to keep them motivated, because I think this program came as a bit of a shock to early career teachers and mentors in how much they actually had to do, you know. And I think this was one of the challenges, was that it was such a time commitment, and it was getting it, the message across that it was really worthwhile and that it could actually help them significantly in their career. So what I found was getting them to link the learning with what they were doing in the classroom, giving them little practical takeaways, kept them on board, kept them excited and interested. And then I think that made things a lot easier.
And Jill, you mentioned that getting to grips with the content was really important to you, and you think it's really important to facilitate as well. And I sympathise with when you're new to the ECF. It feels like a mound of material to get through. And you're right, it you know, the content is vast and could feel overwhelming. Have you got any advice on how people can go about that, getting to grips with the content and making sure they're familiar with it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's really well set out. You know, I have to say, from a kind of user-friendly point of view, I found it really easy to access the materials. So my real kind of piece of advice there would be to be prepared to read it in advance, to, you know, at the beginning of the year, just have a scan through, you know, the whole year. You know, I'm not saying read everything in one go, but just get your head around how it evolves, how it moves through as you work through the program. And doing the reading, and that comes from kind of mentor, facilitator, ECT, doing the reading in advance means that when you're working with someone else or you're working with your ECT group, it's so much easier and so much more valuable than if you're trying to catch up, you know, during that meeting. So being prepared and looking ahead would be my major piece of advice there.
I think that's really good advice, understanding the bigger picture. And you mentioned the importance of making the curriculum come alive for ECT, so they could really see the relevance of it and go back and apply it to their classroom. Have you got any advice for how facilitators can do that?
Yes, so what we did, I mean, I was really lucky. My core facilitator, Kate, was fantastic to work with. We did the mentor sessions together, but we did the ECT. We did the first one and the last one together. And it was great kind of working with her. And we decided right from the beginning that we really wanted to get the ECTs to link the learning to what they were doing. So what we tried to do as much as possible was every time we looked at a case study, we got them to think about their class and a similar experience that they'd had or something that they could use to compare. And that worked brilliantly because they were a little bit reluctant to speak to begin with. But once you started to get them to think about the children in their class, and this worked across the primary and secondary age range, that didn't hinder things at all. They were really good at sharing their experience and saying, oh, I've got a child where that might work and I could try this. And then, you know, the others would start chipping in with, oh, have you tried this? And that's how we got them engaged, was really getting them to pull back and think about how does this look in your classroom.
That's really interesting what you say about the link between engagement and asking them to talk about their own pupils. Yes. And their own experiences, because my experience of popping into to sessions has also been that ECTs tend to light up when they're talking about their own pupils. Yeah. And their own experience. And of course they need to do that, you know, to channel it and just speak about it emotionally as well and work through their problems. So I think that's really clever the way you are able to link that to the case studies and then get them to see themselves in it and then talk about themselves. Like I think that's a really great sort of three-pronged approach to get that engagement, but also from that to get them talking about their problems and then exploring solutions to them. We've already kind of touched on this a bit actually, and you've talked about the challenge of getting to know the content, but what would you say the top two challenges are with facilitating the ECF program?
Okay, so I mean, I had put, I'd thought, you know, the first one was getting to know the content and the research, but that's the same when you do anything for the first time. You know, it's when you come onto a new program, obviously you've got that. I'm really looking forward to doing it again, you know, and actually going back to that year one material. And, you know, I think now I'm so much more confident with linking it to primary and secondary. So I think, you know, going into the next run, you know, of ECT groups, I think once you have done this course once, I think mentors and facilitators and, you know, will find it rewarding to go into it for a second time to do it again. And the other thing was I'd put was about the engagement, because I think what I found is that I've needed to be that support network at times for the early career teachers and the schools, just getting them to realise the commitment, you know, because I think it did come as some of the schools as a little bit of a shock, the actual time commitment that this was going to involve. So it was a challenge, you know, to keep people on board and show them how purposeful and valuable this could be. But that was really rewarding because they did really, you know, kind of rise to that challenge and enjoy the course. And I think once they realised that this was a true, you know, professional development opportunity, and I said, you know, I would have absolutely loved this as an early career teacher. You know, I was literally just told to get on with it. You know, when ask so-and-so if you needed anything, which was more, you know, what's in the stationery cupboard. But this is fantastic. You know, it's giving them access to this research, you know, lots and lots of strategies that they can use to support them in the classroom. So that was a challenge, you know, just getting that engagement. But once it was there, it was strong.
I notice when you talk about mentoring and facilitating, there's a strong pastoral strand to your work there. And so much of what you do is also around shaping values and in fact, modelling enthusiasm for learning and a commitment to learning. Would you say that pastoral strand extended to being a facilitator as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, because a lot of it was about encouragement. Because they would start the session a little bit quiet, you know, kind of, oh, yes, it's, you know, what's been happening since we met last time? And they, well, you know, because there have been challenges over the last couple of years, we're all very well aware that things have not gone smoothly over the last couple of years. And, you know, I had these two groups of newly qualified teachers who were facing things that, you know, I was facing 29 years into my career. And I did feel it was absolutely essential to have a pastoral side and just, you know, keep telling them that they were doing a brilliant job. And, you know, these ECF sessions were about helping them to do that brilliant job. And none of it was just information for the sake of it. It was all information to support them to be the best teacher that they could possibly be. And they responded so well to that. But yes, they did need that support. And they needed to know, they needed somebody to show them that this was a fantastic career that was very rewarding and could give them a lot of pleasure. Because as we all know, there's a lot of work involved in teaching. And it's, you know, it's not all the gorgeous bits with the children where they're making you laugh. There's a lot of other sides to it as well. So I think they needed to see the whole picture, but from somebody who could give them that in a very positive, come on, you can do it, kind of way.
The children do make you laugh, right?
Oh, they do. That's the bit that keeps you going.
Yeah. Do you know, one of our partners said to me recently that she thought the main difference between a provider-led program such as the UCL one and one where schools take a DIY approach is the facilitator. If you think about it, is the facilitator is the essential difference between the two different, those two different approaches to an ECF induction. I think she's right. And actually, you know, listening to you, Jill, it's really obvious that she's right. You know, having someone like yourself to lead a group of early career teachers through the first couple of years makes a huge difference to the way they're going to be, you know, a teacher and their enjoyment of the classroom. They'll remember it, no doubt. I mean, from that experience, and you're one of the few people who've actually, actually you're towards the end of 2 years of facilitating on this program with us. You're a veteran of ECF. Is there anything you haven't told us yet about what you think you've learned about effectively facilitating on the ECF?
I would say keeping it pacey and enjoyable is an absolute essential, because some of the bits, you know, when you're talking about theory, you know, you don't want to make those sections too long. Because they've, you know, it's at the end of a very busy day. You know, you need to keep people on board. So keeping it pacey and enjoyable, relevant. You know, I talked about those takeaways, giving them little practical tips that they could go off and try the next day was just gold dust. Because every time you did that, they perked up. Getting that team feeling, and then, you know, just that well-being side of things was so important. Kate and I called it that we are in it together approach, because we always used to say to them, you know, email us if you've got a question, you know, stay on at the end of the session if you've got a question to ask us that you don't want to ask in front of everyone else, it's not a problem. And sometimes they did, quite often they didn't. But, you know, I got the odd little email just saying, oh, I just wanted to check this with you. I was too embarrassed to ask, you know, during the session. But just that team feeling, and I know a few of them were in touch with each other, which was lovely, and really wanted to help. And what we used to do, which I thought was really good, and I will always do this in the future, was I would always email the group before the session saying, really looking forward to seeing you. Hope you've read the case study, you know, and then just to remind them, you know, it's coming up. Don't leave it till the last minute. And then afterwards, Kate and I would email them again with any useful information that anyone had shared. We'd send them any information that we'd said that we would give them during the session. And just that keeping in touch showed them that we valued them. And, you know, they then were very respectful and valued us by replying. So it was, that was lovely.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it makes it a network, doesn't it? I mean, that's almost the whole point of having clusters, you know, teachers coming from different schools. I know that sometimes we have clusters where there's lots of teachers from one trust or even from one school. But very often a cluster is made up of people from 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different schools sometimes. And just, you know, it's not always easy to form a professional network when you're just starting out in the job. And so having that facilitated for you is pretty precious, isn't it? I think that's really, really helpful. Is there anything you want to say about, because you said a moment ago, I think, about facilitating on year two because of the inquiry approach to learning that we take, professional learning that we take in year two. Is there anything about that that you, I mean, how did you overcome your own feelings of inadequacy with that one, Jill?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was really good, because in the year two, there were so many questions, and it was great because it really did alter in year two. The dynamics changed. It's great because it was so much more about, well, what have you found out? So, you know, it had always been a team approach, but that year two inquiry approach put everybody completely on the same level, because they were asking me what I'd found out. I was asking them what they'd found out, you know, so we were sharing all these ideas, and I thought that was lovely. And I know the mentors, you know, it was a little bit of a shock to the system in the first instance, because they were like, oh, right, OK, so, you know, we're doing this alongside, you know, our ECTs. But they really started to enjoy it, and it really pushed everyone. And it was very enjoyable.
And it is nice, though, that year two is not just a rehash of year one. It is really quite a different feel, isn't it? And I hadn't really thought about this, Jill, until you said it, but it's a different feel for the facilitator as well. You know, it's, you know, obviously we know that there's challenges in the year two of the program for mentors who may not be familiar with our approach to practitioner inquiry. But of course, it does put a burden on the facilitators as well. So it's nice to know that, you know, put a smile on your face. That's.
I got asked lots of questions.
Jill, you come into the staff room today. It's been the highlight of my day, because you've given us so many golden nuggets of advice, and it's such brilliant advice for people starting out on the journey that you've had. Sadly, the bell's about to go shortly, so our time in the staff room is coming to an end, but we give all our guests a post-it note to write some advice on it. And you can write any advice on your post-it note, and you can give it to anyone. So it could be us as a program leader, it could be an ECT, an induction tutor, someone at the DFE. And we'd like to know what you're going to write on your post-it note and where you're going to stick your post-it note.
Right. Well, I'm going to give my post-it note to everyone, because anyone who's involved in anything to do with teaching or ECF needs this post-it note. And it would just say, plan ahead, your time is precious. Because I just think school is such a busy place. We all know that you're pulled in a million and one different directions. And it's just about making sure that you keep that time precious, and you plan so that it's as useful to everyone as it can possibly be. So plan ahead, your time is precious.
I think that's a brilliant piece of advice, and we're definitely going to stick that somewhere where everyone can see it.
But I can hear that bell ringing. That probably means someone should be on gate duty by now. Is that your turn, Jill?
usually is.
Thanks for joining us. And genuinely thanks for the massive contribution you've been making to your own ECTs, but also to all those other ECTs and mentors on the program. I think you deserve that gluten-free biscuit that you mentioned at the beginning to go with your drink, although I think maybe your latte may have gone cold by now. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, see you soon, Jill.
Bye, Jill.
Bye.
Our thanks go to Jill Whitehouse, Deputy Head Teacher at South Gosforth First School, for sharing coffee with us this week in the ECF staff room.
Please do get in touch with us if you think you would like to chat with us about your ECF experience. We especially want to hear from a range of different voices. In the meantime, do join us for a biscuit and a chat with another colleague in the ECF staff room.
Thanks so much for downloading and listening to this IOE podcast.